overflowing is defined as to cover with or as if with water, inundate, to flow over the brim of, to fill a space to capacity and spread beyond its limits. The Greek is periseo. It means to abound or to exceed. When we see ourselves for what we are and Christ for who he is and fully realize that Christ is in us, we ought to be astounded. When this reality is believed and embraced, believers should be thankful for the opportunity in suffering, in mystery, in revelation, in doing, in understanding, and everything else in between. It ought to flow to every part of a believer and spill out of us in abundance. It should be life overflowing.
Well, good morning. My name is Steve Whipple, as Alan introduced me. I am so happy to be here, excited to be a part of worshiping and gathering with you guys together today. My family, part of my family is here. If my whole family was here, it would be more than pack a pew, Alan. We would have packed a section. Just to let you know, let me show you a picture of my family. This is my 8 children. We have 6 girls and 2 boys. My boys bless them for living in a home with 7 women. But 5 of my children are married now. One of them is here with her husband, and so his name is Scott, and they are expecting our 7th grandchild this fall. And so we have 5 married, we have 2 in college, and I have 1 who is 16, she'll be a junior in high school this year. So to say we're almost done is not true, and any of you who have adult children know the truth of that statement, amen? Because you're never done, right? So excited to be here. Thanks to Kevin for asking me to fill in for him, and I pray that he has a great, refreshing vacation. And I know the church, as you guys are transitioning, we're praying for you as you look to what God has for the next chapter of First Baptist Lithia Springs. And so I'm thankful to the church as well for you guys tolerating me. As Alan said, I've been in ministry for over 36 years. I'm a third-generation pastor. I have done a little bit of everything in ministry, but I get the privilege now of working with pastors and ministering to pastors, really, is the majority of what I get to do, and to speak into their marriage and help them to speak into the marriages in their churches. And if you want more information about what I do, be sure to stop me afterwards. I'd love to point you to some more opportunities for that. Well, happy Father's Day. My dads, where are my dads? Where are my dads? Who has a dad in here? Okay, that should have been all of you guys, in case you... Okay, that would be the easy question. So who out there would say, I'm a wonderful dad? I am, but I ain't going to put my hand up because... No, how many of you would say, I had a wonderful dad? Okay, good. Or I have a wonderful dad. As we're continuing this walk through the book of Colossians, Kevin asked me to preach. He said, here's where we're at in Colossians, and it's Father's Day. Have at it. And I'm like, this, I read it, and I thought, well, how do we connect Father's Day to this? And as I read through it, and I kept kind of thinking, okay, well, I'll just kind of preach the text, and we'll see where it goes. But the more I thought about it, the more I believe it is a very poignant message, not just for fathers, but mothers or anyone. So you should have a little handout there. I want you to make sure you get that if you don't have it. And I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 2. And hope you have a Bible with you. If you don't, you could turn it on your phone. The disadvantage to that is you can't underline anything on your phone. That'll scratch your screen if you do that, so don't try it. But I want to propose that whether you're a dad, a mom, or a teenager, whether you're a single adult, a senior adult, a child, anyone, we are to be wonderful and live wonderful lives. I wonder about a lot of things. As a dad of 8... 6 girls, 2 boys. I wonder why my daughters can lose so much hair and yet still have a healthy full head of hair. Do I have any girl dads out there? Are you with me on that? It's like, it's just, the drains fill up with what turn into small animals. You know, and there's just hair everywhere. It's always there. I'm walking around, and somebody will say, "Oh, you got a hair on your shoulder." Yep, it's long and blonde. There it is, and it's not mine, right? It just happens. I wonder why my daughters are so silly sometimes, my girls. I also wonder at my boys' lack of cautiousness. You mean boy dads? Boy moms, right? My wife jokes that my oldest son did not get the caution gene because he was in the ER so much that they had his name on a broom. I mean, it was just like, "Your table is ready, sir." You know, we would walk in. They knew him by first name. I wonder at my son, who's an engineering student, and his ability to grasp mathematical and mechanical things with ease. As an outgoing and extroverted person myself, I wonder at some of my more introverted kids' lack of just jumping into things. Why don't you just jump on in? I wonder at that. But God has made them all different and unique and beautiful and talented and gifted them all differently by His Holy Spirit. So instead of wondering about those things, here's what I do. I reflect back to the moment of each of their births when I stood in awe and wonder of the amazing creation of God. The amazing forming of a totally unique individual human being with a totally unique DNA that was formed at the moment of conception, a DNA that is in each one unique to all of humanity and all of history. That makes me wonder. It did at each of the moments of their births, and it still does now. So instead of looking and just wondering about what I can't figure out, about my kids as a dad, I reflect on the amazing wonder of life as God has created it over and over again. Do you feel that same way sometimes? Or are you just familiar with things and the wonder isn't really there? Have you ever really thought about it like that? I think any of us who are parents or grandparents can relate to those thoughts. Nothing like looking at the world through the wonder of our kids or our grandkids' eyes when they're little. But do we have that same wonder when it comes to our faith? When it comes to the birth, thing, wonder, God, often I think you and I can fall into the danger of losing the wonder of grace in the midst of the chaos of these days. So I want us to look at Colossians chapter 2. Our passage is verses 11 through 15, but I want to back up to verse 8. You all were in that passage last week, but I want to get a little context here. So we're going to back up to verse 8. We're going to start at verse 8. We're going to read through verse 15. So if you have a copy of God's Word, if you would stand with me in honor of the Word of God as we read Colossians chapter 2. Starting at verse 8, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him, you who were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him." Father, this is Your Word. Will You bless the reading of Your Word? May You speak to us very clearly, and may we heed what You would have us to hear in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen. So here's my question to start off our study in this passage today. Are you wonderful? Speaking of wonderful today, I'm not talking about how you view yourself, how you view you, or how you good you act. I mean, have you ever said that thought of something like this, or maybe you've said something like this, that person is such a wonderful Christian. She's such a wonderful Christian lady. He's such a wonderful Christian man. What do we mean by that when we say things like that? We may have thought it. We may have said, maybe not have used the word wonderful, but we may have even said it. But what do we really mean by that? Usually what we're talking about is their lifestyle, maybe. Their behavior. Is that it? That's good. And that certainly is fruit in their life. But is that all that the word wonderful in our lives should mean? I mean, I'm not talking about how you view yourself, not how others view you. I'm talking about, are you full of wonder at what God has done for you and in you as we read this passage that we just read? Or are you and I wonderless? You might say, well, I don't think that's true of me. I really don't, Steve. I'm not wonderless. But is it? Let me give you this first point. We become wonderless when we forget how amazing grace is. We become wonderless when we forget how amazing grace really is. Dr. Paul Tripp says this in his devotional book, New Morning Mercies. He says, it would be amazing if a God of awesome glory recognized our existence. But for him to welcome us into his family is grace beyond amazing. Let me ask you this. Have you gotten over grace? Have you gotten over it? Now, most here would say, no, of course not. But do we live full of wonder at the grace that we've been given? Do we live a life full of wonder at the gospel? Oftentimes, I'm afraid I fall into familiarity with the gospel, right? It's just part of my life. It has been since I was born. As I said, I'm a third generation pastor. I was almost literally in the church from the day I was born. But do we live a life full of wonder, or are we just familiar? Paul is reminding the church of Colossae here in this passage, and he's reminding us of the amazing, wonderful grace that God has granted us. But we can lose the wonder if we aren't careful. We can just find ourselves in a pattern, a tradition, a habit of attending church, serving and giving, and we just come every Sunday, and we're in that pattern, and we kind of lose the wonder of it all. Do you still have the wonder that you once had as a kid? Any baseball fans here? Baseball fans? Where's my baseball fans? There's a few of you. Okay. Do you remember the first time you walked into a big league baseball stadium? For me, it was Atlanta Braves in Fulton County Stadium, the old Atlanta Stadium, right? I remember the first time I walked in. I was a seventh grader, a junior high school. I had never been to a major league stadium, and I walked in, and I was like, wow, it was amazing. The smells, the sights, the grass that looked like carpet to me. The sounds, the crack of the bats as they were having batting practice, and just the people all around. Some of the smells were not so great. But it all came together to be part of that experience, right? And I was just in wonder of it all. Like, wow. I remember the first time I put on my Little League uniform and I stepped out onto the field. It wasn't Fulton County Stadium. It wasn't Truist Park. It was Fulbright Park in Cleveland, Tennessee. It was a nothing place, but it was cool. I was in the wonder of it all. I felt like I was a big leaguer. Have we lost the wonder? Do you remember what those kinds of things were like? How about this? I think everybody can relate to this. You don't even have to be a baseball fan. Do you remember the wonder of everything that was the Christmas season when you were a kid? Remember the wonder of it all? I mean, do you remember the wonder of everything there? It's Sears wish book. Can I get a witness on that? The JCPenney Christmas catalog. We waited. They came out about August, right? And it was this thick. It felt like it was this thick to me. We'd thumb through it. We'd circle stuff. We'd write our names. There were five kids in Mount Famous who had to write our names beside the things we wanted. And we would make sure that mom knew that, right? Man, we would spend hours looking through that catalog. Now you got to scroll. As Amazon's got nothing on the Sears wish book, amen? But do you remember the wonder of all of that? As a kid, you just got caught up in all of it. But now we find ourselves caught up in the busyness of life, the stress of life. We go to a ball game and it's all about the crowds, the parking. How much did they charge me to park there? How far do I have to walk after they charge me that much? The cost of everything, it's hectic. And then, oh man, a hamburger is $12. Are you serious? And then we go the hecticness of the Christmas season. Oh no, we got a Christmas party here, Christmas party there, Christmas party here. Grandkids Christmas program here. We got to go to this school. We got to go to this. Do we really have to go to the neighbor's house? And then we go on and on and on and on and on and on. Right? And the hecticness of all of that. And then there's the budget. Oh, we don't have enough money to do everything we want to do. The stress we create, and on and on and on it goes. Right? We lose the wonder of things in our lives that were once so full of wonder. But when it comes to our faith, we too can lose that wonder all too often. We lose the wonder of what it means to walk in relationship with Jesus, the Word made flesh, God Almighty, Emmanuel, God with us. We lose the wonder of that. But if we're not careful, it just becomes routine. I think one of the main reasons we do that, and this is how I think it happens sometimes, is we lose our wonder when we fail to look back to where we came from. You see, kids have a wonder about their faith. You're going to have VBS here. They're going to be just excited. They have a wonder and a simplicity about their faith. And we lose that because we fail to look back to where we came from. Look back at this passage again. I want to read this passage again, so I want you to make sure you have your Bibles open because you're going to need some. You need something to write with, okay? So if you don't have it, if you got an electronic phone, I'm sorry, you can highlight and say, so I think there's a way you can do that. But here's what I want you to do, okay? You may say, well, I don't need to, okay, take this little thing and you can do write on this, okay? So do this, okay? Everybody needs to do this. There will be a quiz later. Well, I want to read this passage again, and I want you to underline a couple things. I want you to underline some repeated phrases that we see in this passage. Okay? It'll say in him or with him at some point. I want you to underline anything like that. Or anything that says you were or you have been or something similar. Okay? Are you with me? Do your head this way if you're with me. Yes. Okay. All right, so we're going to do that. Read it again. Okay, starting at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For, what does it say? In him. There's your first one. Underline that. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Let's stop. That should make us wonder. In Jesus, the whole fullness of all that God is dwells in him bodily. Verse 10, and you have been, there's your other one, underline that, and you have been filled with him, filled in him. There's another one. Holy cow, are you serious? All the deity dwells in him, and I have been filled with him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Verse 11, in him, there it is again, also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which, what does it say? You were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, underline that, who were dead, underline that whole phrase, in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them, what? In him. You see where we were and what we have been and what we are in him? That's wonderful. We forget how sinful we were, how sinful we are. We forget that and how awesome and wonderful and amazing God's grace really is. Max Lucado once wrote something like this. That's not a direct quote because I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it says something like this. He said, as a Christian, he said this, Satan can't steal your salvation, but he can try to make you forget what it was like to be lost. You see, you're in Christ. He can't have you, but he'll make you forget what it was like to be lost. And you'll be wonderless. And you'll just kind of be going through the motions, and you're a zero threat to his kingdom. Have we forgotten? Have we become wonderless? What were we? We were dead in our sins. Look at verse 13. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, Jesus, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, Paul says something very, very similar, almost the same thing as he's writing to the church in Ephesus. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked, according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath as the others were also. And then the most amazing words in all of the Bible, but God. Love those words. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our trespasses. You are saved by what? Grace. Amazing. Unbelievable. Wonderful. Look back at verse 11 in Colossians 2. In him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Christian, you were this. You were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. And what's he talking about here? When Paul talks about circumcision here, don't drive past that. Don't just drive past it, oh, he's making an Old Testament reference. No. He's speaking metaphorically here about circumcision symbolizing the cutting away of sin, experiencing a change, the flesh being cast away, a change of heart that only Christ can do. It's a picture of us being adopted into his household of faith as children of God. He describes it as putting off the body of flesh. We no longer live in the kingdom of the flesh, but in him, in Christ, under his lordship. And not only our own selves, it's not something we do of our own, but it's his grace. We are in him, alive, raised from death. Only God can do that. How often do you look back at your passage? Did you underline? How often do you see in him, in him, in him? He, it's all about what he's done, right? You see, when we can kind of make it about ourselves, and it's not. It's never about us. We identify with Christ in his death and his resurrection. We are dead to the power of sin and Satan, and by grace we are empowered by the work of God to live a new life in Christ. That's wonderful. We should be full of wonder at such amazing grace. Unbelievable. Here's the next point for you. Because when we become wonderless, you see, wonderless people are prideful and self-sufficient. The wonderful are humbled and grateful. There's a song out right now by an artist named Lauren Daigle. It's called what's the name of it? I forgot the name. She says, I don't know where I'd be if I didn't know you. Thank God I do. That's the name of the song. She said, I don't know where I'd be if I didn't know you. Humble, grateful. Thank God I do. You know, part of that, I think, is I know exactly where I would be if I didn't know Christ. Can I get a witness in that? Do you know where you'd be? I know where I'd likely be. When I'm full of wonder of the grace of the gospel, I'm humbled and grateful. I know where I was. I remember what my life was. And I also, though, remember where my life could be. You see, my testimony is that I was saved when I was in the sixth grade in the First Baptist Church of Cleveland, Tennessee. I wasn't a bad kid. I mean, I was the minister of music's son, so, I mean, there's probably a lot there, right? But I wasn't a bad kid. Usually I got in trouble because of the pastor's kids. That's all I'm saying. Or the deacon's kids. Those deacon's kids, they're always stirring it up, right? No, I mean, my dad was a music minister. I was a normal church-going kid. I wasn't a drug addict in the ditch and God pulled me out. That wasn't me. But see, here's my testimony. My testimony is not all the ditches God pulled me out of, but all the ditches He kept me from ever getting in. Because you see, I know my heart. I know how pitiful and evil and wicked my heart is. I know my tendencies. Very spontaneous person. I know I could easily have gone down so many roads that I watched so many of my friends in high school and college go down. I know how selfish and sinful I can be in my heart, and I see how poor and pitiful I would be apart from Christ. I'm humbled and grateful for His grace. I'm full of wonder about that because I deserve zero of it. But I was a good kid. I still deserve nothing but death and hell. Dave Ramsey has this famous phrase. They say, how you doing? And he says, anybody know what he says? I'm better than I deserve. I say that all the time to people. It's amazing the doors that opens for people. I'm better than I deserve because I know what I deserve. I deserve death and hell for my sin, but God, rich in mercy, by His grace, has saved me. We become wonderless. We lose our wonder when we become prideful, though, and we think, I got it all together. You see, I'm in wonder of a God that would love me and rescue me and deliver me from me. It humbles me and makes me eternally grateful, and I'm afraid I don't tell the Lord that enough. Thank Him for His grace and mercy regularly in your life. But when we become prideful and we think we've kind of got it all together, you may say, well, Steve, this is great. I don't need this word. Well, I'm just not even going to say anything about that because we all need this. You see, when I'm wonderless, I'm prideful, I'm self-sufficient. I'm self-sufficient. We've always said as we were raising our children, we didn't want our children to become independent. We don't want them to be independent because independent means I'm self-sufficient. I want my children to become less dependent upon me and more dependent upon God. That's my goal as a parent, as a grandparent. That's our goal. They're going to stomp their foot. I'm going to be independent. No, please don't. Because you're self-sufficient when you're there. You need to be resting in the sufficiency of the grace of God, in wonder of it all. Even those who strive to perform are prideful because they're relying on their own efforts. Well, I'm going to serve, and I'm going to do, and I'm going to give. And Jesus had something to say about that, I think. He said, they said, we did all these things in your name. And He said, depart from me, I never knew you. We become self-sufficient and prideful because we think we're striving and we're doing enough. We can't earn grace. We strive to earn something that we can't earn. Grace is not a plus one kind of thing. It isn't the gospel plus anything else. It isn't the gospel plus giving. It isn't the gospel plus church attendance, plus missions, plus serving, plus being in VBS, plus reading my Bible, plus whatever. It isn't the gospel plus. As good and as important as all of those things are, and yes, we should serve and give, and we should gather corporately together to worship. All of those things, yes, but it isn't the gospel and. Where's the wonder in that anyway? Because that's if I can do it, what's the point of grace? Amen. Someone once said, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That's true and wonderful. We can also become so familiar with grace that we take it for granted. I've been guilty of that. We lose the wonder. We can think, I'm doing fine. I'm saved. I don't need to be reminded of the gospel. I want you to give me something meaty, preacher. Give me some meat. Give me something deep. I know the gospel. I know about grace. Give me something deep. Right? I think I'm fine. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 2. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds wisdom. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. The closer I walk with Jesus, the more I realize I don't know. Live and learn and study and worship with the wonder of the amazing grace of the gospel. When you open this, the wonder of it, the word of the living God, Almighty Creator. I was on a mission trip in Argentina some years ago with some teenagers. And there was this lady who, through an interpreter, shared with us. Old lady, she was in her 90s, and she had come to Christ very, very late in life. And she said, she wasn't telling us, she was telling the missionary through interpreter, and she said, when I open my Bible, I rub my hands across it, and I weep because I'm touching the very voice of God. Oh, the wonder of I got to read my Bible this morning because I'm supposed to. Oh, it's the very Word of God. Touching the voice of God. I tell people all the time, they say, I want to hear God like they did in the Old Testament. Why didn't he just speak audibly and tell us? Okay, you want to hear God's audible voice? Open this and read it out loud. There you go. Take that electronic phone and put it on Audible and listen to it as you drive to work or back and forth as you go. You'll hear the voice of God audibly speaking to you because it's His Word, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it pierces the very soul of both joint and marrow. Live and learn and worship and study with the wonder of the amazing grace of the gospel. But we can lose that wonder. But yet we can get it back. How do we regain it? We regain and keep our wonder when we rehearse the gospel. God commanded the children of Israel in the Old Testament to observe all these feasts. Why did he do that? Why did he say do these things and do them all over and over and over and over again every year, ad infinitum? Why did he say that? He said of the Passover, you shall keep this forever. Why? Why did he want them to do that? Because he didn't want them to ever forget the promises of God and his deliverance. It was to remind them over and over. So Jesus, he institutes the new covenant, and he takes the Passover and turns it into the Lord's Supper, and he says, as often as you eat this, you do it in remembrance of me. Right? 1 Corinthians 11 says, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So when we take the Lord's Supper, we're rehearsing the gospel. We look back to the cross in remembrance, and we look forward to Christ's return in anticipation. It's exactly what he said. You remember the Lord's death until he comes. Keep preaching the gospel to yourself, and you will not lose the wonder of grace. Paul said as much in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. As a matter of fact, let me start. Turn to that. I want you to see this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You're in Colossians, go back to the left a little bit. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 5. If you don't want to turn there, just jot it down. 1 Corinthians 15. This is what he says about the gospel of grace and the wonder of it all. Here's what he says. Now, I remind you, brothers, the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. Okay, first off, there's three things here. You received it in the past, you stand in it in the present, and you are being saved in it from now till eternity. The gospel's relevant all the time. Preach it to yourself. He said, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you at first, as of first importance, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Preach the gospel to yourself. Today, I would remind you of the gospel and the wonderful, amazing grace by which you and I have been saved. Rehearse it. Preach it. Wonder in it. When we're wonderful, wonderful, we live it and we pass it on. Here's how I think I'd like to tie this to Father's Day. But this is also true of anyone on any day. Fathers, mothers, grandparents, teens, children. Are you passing on the amazing, wonderful gospel of grace? If I'm living this Christian life full of wonder at the grace that God has shown me, it will be obvious to my family, to my coworkers, to my neighbors, to my classmates. It won't just be a part of a religious ritual. It'll be something that overflows because I'm so full of wonder. It will cause others to see something wonderful in my eyes. You ever, when you look back at Christmas and baseball and nature and flowers and animals, sunsets, mountains, oceans and waves and all of these things, when you look through the eyes of young children or your grandchildren, it's wonderful because they are full of wonder, aren't they? You remember you taking your kids, your grandkids, to the ocean for the first time, and they're like, is so big. The wonder of it all. It's contagious too. And when you're with them, man, you just can't help but see it. It's contagious. This is true of our faith too. And when we are full of wonder at the grace of the gospel of Christ, why shouldn't we be full of wonder? You and I can live free from slavery to sin and free from Satan's rule and from his grip in our life because we have been given victory in Jesus. We were slaves, but in him we are victorious. Look at verse 15, back in Colossians 2. Look at verse 15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. The words in him there can literally mean through it, meaning the cross. In him, through the cross, we have been given victory, and he has triumphed over. We don't battle flesh and blood in this life from a position of defense, from a position of we've got to attain a victory. We battle flesh and blood and sin in this life from a position of victory that's already been won. That's wonderful. No matter how hard it gets, I've read the end of the book. I know how it all comes out. No matter how crazy politics or culture or society or just sinful evil in the world happens, I know God is sovereign and he's still on the throne and he will reign victorious because he's already been victorious, because when his last words on the cross were what? It is finished. He didn't say, you got to go finish this for me. He said, it's already done. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us that we should stand in wonder and awe of all of this, because we could never win this victory on our own. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Grace, amazing grace, which should fill us with wonder. Are you living full of wonder. Are you wonderful? If you are, then people are going to notice. And you can't help but pass that on. Dads, granddads, moms, grandmothers. What if one day, not to sound morbid, but one day at your funeral, your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, your co-workers, people stood up and said, you know what? He, she was just so full of the wonder of the grace of God. I couldn't help but take notice. And it impacted me. What a testimony. Didn't do anything great in this world. But boy, they lived a life full of wonder. People will notice and it'll overflow. So, what if we regain the wonder? What if First Baptist Church of Lithia Springs regained the wonder of grace? How might it change the way we worship? How might it change the way we sing, the way we pray, the way we serve, the way we give, the way we walk with Jesus every day, regaining the wonder that we had when we first got saved? Like that kid looking at Christmas, walking into that baseball field for the first time with that kind of wonder, looking at the mountains for the first time they've ever seen them, or a butterfly with incredible, innocent wonder and simplicity. What if we looked at Jesus that way and the grace that we've been given every single day? My wife was reading something recently, and she shared with me something that Sinclair Ferguson wrote. This is not a direct quote, but this is the gist of what he said. The pure gospel is the same for the 89-year-old who's been walking with the Lord for 75 years and the 19-year-old college kid who'd been living a life of rebellion, or the 9-year-old who just came to faith. The gospel's the same for all of them. None of these are more sanctified by the grace of God than any other. These aren't justified by their own righteousness, but by the grace of God. Each is justified by the same, at the same moment of salvation. That's grace, and that is wonderful. What if First Baptist Lithia Springs was known by the wonder that this church has for the grace of God? And people said, you know, those are wonderful people at that church. I want some of that. What if we had a fresh perspective? Maybe you're hearing this today and you say, I don't have that wonder because I've been trying to do this religion thing on my own. I've been trying to be better and do better, and I keep falling short, and it's very frustrating. Or maybe you're saying, I don't have that grace, and I know it, and I need it. The wonderful news is it's available to you. Right now, in this moment, you must simply place your faith in Christ today. Not in religion, but in a relationship with the God of the universe and your Creator, who became flesh to pay the penalty for your sins, so that you might live with Him forever and walk with Him in this world. That's pretty wonderful. Maybe you're here saying, you know, Steve, this is so elementary. I was kind of hoping to hear something deeper. Man, there ain't much deeper than this. It's amazing. The depth is so deep. You could drill down and down and down, and it's so wonderful, and we'll never grasp the fullness of it all. Don't lose the wonder. Let God's word change your perspective today. Here's the thing. I always ended my sermons with, here's the thing. It's your takeaway. If you don't remember anything else, just take this right here. Be, live, and stay wonderful. Be full of wonder. Live full of wonder. Stay full of wonder of the grace of God. It'll change your perspective on everything in your life, on everything you see in the world. And others will take notice. Remember where you were. Remember where God saved you from. Here's a closing quote again from Dr. Paul Tripp that I think gives us just some more perspective on the amazing, wonderful grace that we've been given. Listen closely. By means of the life, death, and resurrection of God's Son, He has made a way for us to be welcomed into an intimate, familial relationship with Him. He literally adopts us into His family so that, quite apart from anything we could have ever deserved, we were given the full range of rights and privileges of His children. And not only are we granted those things in the here and now, but we are blessed with them forever and ever. Along with this, He has promised us the final end of all sin. Sickness, sorrow, and suffering that our rebellion brought down on this world. So grace lets you have it all. Everything, that is, that you need. Grace makes the King of Kings your Father and His Savior Son your brother. Now that is really beyond amazing. Pray for eyes to see it and a heart to embrace it, and then let your soul soar. Sing this with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. That was beautiful. But now I want you to sing it different. I want you to stand and I want you to sing that as one who was dead and is now brought to life. One who was on death row in prison and someone paid your penalty and set you free and you didn't do anything to deserve it. And I want you to sing that as if that was true in your life. Sing it full of wonder. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. May we be people of wonder. God, may you use this church to overflow the grace that you have shown each of us to this community. God, may our families be different. May they see something different in us as we walk with you in wonder of it all. God, I pray that there's anyone here today, either online listening or sitting in this room, who doesn't know you, that you would reach down right now and your Holy Spirit would draw them to you. God, I pray that we would walk from here with a fresh heart for the wonder of the gospel. God, may we be wonderful dads, wonderful moms, wonderful children, wonderful grandparents, wonderful people, and the world would take notice. We're going to close with Alan's going to lead us and the team. We're going to lead us in a song of commitment. Maybe you just need to come and you need to kneel here in prayer and you just need to say, God, forgive me. I lost my wonder. Fill me again, fresh and anew with your Spirit. Maybe you need to come. There will be someone here to receive you. Maybe you need to come and you need to say, I have just been doing religion. I need Jesus. I need that in my life. Whatever God is speaking to you today, I would encourage you to respond as His Spirit draws you.